This week was a good week for geeks because the first lot of the 2021 census data has been released. It hasn't been such a good week for Christians because what we've seen is that the influence of Christianity within our society, within our country, has gradually and quite rapidly decreased over the years. Before I was born, back in 1966, the number of Christians in our country, according to the census, was 88.2. 25 years later, by 1991, it was down to 74%. The last census, it had dropped to 52%. So we're still the majority Christian country. But this year, the data now reveals that the number of Christians in Australia has dropped to 43.85%. So we're no longer that majority Christian country. And it's not the other religions. They've increased a little bit. Islam is up to 3.2, Hinduism 2.7, Buddhism to 2.4, and all other religions together make up 1.7%. But the real jump has been in the no religion category that is now up to 38.4%. And just 10 years before, it was only 22%. So that's this massive increase in the numbers and the change. So for us, you know, we need to be more effective disciples of Jesus. If we are to arrest this slide, if we are to represent the 20% of people who identify as Catholics, but of those, less than 10% are actually like you taking part in this service. You know, there's only maybe 500,000 Catholics across the country who attend church, and maybe about, you know, 1 in 500 or so are here in our parish. So it's a pretty scary realization when there are about 5,000 churches, Catholic churches across our country, that there must be very small communities out there as well. And so for us, this impetus to listen to the gospel of Jesus today, to remember that this is not just about the elite. You know, he sends out the 72. Men and women, people from different backgrounds, people from different ages, just whoever was part of his group, he sent them all out. Not alone, he sent them out in pairs, because we need to do this in community. We can never invite people back into unity with us unless we experience this grace of being part of the friendship of God. And so for us, we need to experience this deep and continuing call and urge of the Lord to experience more deeply what it is to be a disciple. So what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Well, the word comes from a Greek word that simply means a learner. And learners don't have to have it all together. We don't have to know everything. We don't have to have completely studied the code of canon law and read the Bible from cover to cover. They're helpful. We don't have to know, you know, verse and number from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. But we do need to be in that relationship of getting to know Jesus, of experiencing what it is to be known and loved by our God, and to be caught up in that experience, because that's the only way that we will ever make a change and a difference. Obviously, there's a whole spectrum of belief, and those census numbers don't even begin to really capture what those different experiences and relationships are. Sherry Waddell, in her book, Forming Intentional Disciples, speaks about the five different ways that, you know, people can express belief. Because there are those who would say that they're atheists, so they just don't believe in any kind of God whatsoever. Others are a little bit more generous, and they're just not sure. They're not really sure how it's possible that there is a God, so we call them agnostic. Well, there are those who kind of believe in some sense of a higher power, that have some experience of God being present in the universe, and we might call them the deists. Then we get the people who, yeah, I believe in God and I believe in a personal God, but I have no real relationship with God. And they're the census Christians, those who say, yes, we're still Christian, but they're never actually practical or making it part of their daily lives. And then there are those who say, yes, I believe in a personal God and I have that personal relationship with the Lord. And that's those who are believers. But even within that kind of final category, there's obviously also a whole range of different experiences. So imagine your life is a circle. And so you have a circle, and within that circle, you have a whole bunch of different things, different activities, your family, your friends, your other relationships, your activities, your work, your hobbies, how much time you spend watching TV or what programs you stream on Netflix or binge. All of those different events and activities form part of our lives. And so for those who don't really believe in God, then, you know, the cross and Jesus is somewhere there in the story, but usually not even part of their lives, not part of that circle. So it's somewhere just outside. And then you get people that are practicing Christians, so they take part in church. And so within that circle of life, then the cross is present. But it's just one of those events, one of those activities that you do among many others. And so you come to church and that's about it. That's the whole kind of experience. And then you get to a deeper relationship where the cross is not just part of your life, but you begin to have the experience of the cross being in the very center. And so Jesus becomes your waking moment. He becomes that experience and that encounter that marks and shapes the whole of your life. And you begin to realize that there are some things in your life that really are no longer compatible with living for Jesus. And so some of those things that used to be part of your life are now outside of your circle, no longer part of that regular experience. And I've got a diagram of this, and it'll be available on my website after Mass. But that experience of, you know, being able to demonstrate to someone, you know, when you're talking to a friend at coffee and you bring up that experience of what it was like for you to encounter the living God, to have that sense, to have that realization that there is this movement. And some people are quite happy just to have God somewhere in their life, and that, you know, coming to church sometimes is okay for them. And that's fine. You know, we want more for them. We want to allow them to experience a greater depth. But we also need to give them that freedom to choose where they are along that journey of life. But inviting them to know that there's more. Inviting them to know that there is this possibility of encountering the living God. Our psalm today has, you know, two beautiful lines. In the second verse, we were told, you know, come and see the works of God. And then in the fourth verse, come and hear, for I will tell you what he has done for me. You know, it's that experience, that encounter of personal witness, of personal testimony, inviting others into that experience, inviting others into that change that has happened in my life, that only happens when we share that story, when we ourselves have encountered the living God. So it's a good, you know, good opportunity for us to take a moment to really reflect, where am I in that circle? Where, what things have I placed in my life? And what are the things that are really important? And how central is God and the worship of God as part of that experience? And so for us, let's continue to open ourselves to being caught up in that joy and wonder of knowing the Lord, and allowing that joy of being a disciple to really shape all that we do today.